moment to clear the room.
Yeah, clear the room.
Those of you who are on teleconference, if you just stand by for a second, we'll be right with you.
Clear the room.
Bye, welcome.
Ducking cover.
This is interesting. Discussions here today, Dave?
I'm supposed to be.
Medicaid by tuition, we have some.
I'm in a finance subcommittee meeting, community regional affairs, I saw Kurt over there.
Yes, I am.
You're built in 50 minutes to deal with, I sat there. What annoyed me was, the guy was sitting right there, we could have rewrote mine, could have got it passed.
Which was that, the what?
Oh, you didn't know the other guy was there?
Well, no, he was there, he didn't say anything, really, until he got up and sat down and said, well, let's hold this over. Said it.
Well, did we pass this last thing out of committee?
What?
Did we pass this?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. Okay, the State Affairs Committee will come back to order, please. We are on SJR 15, we left off Monday, I guess it was Monday, it seems like forever ago, with Stephanie Joannides from Law was testifying, and if you would rejoin us at the table, please. We cut you off kind of in the middle of your testimony. We all ran out of time and patience.
Patience, right.
And so if you'd like to take up where you left off, go ahead, please.
Thank you.
We are on teleconference, by the way.
In the past couple of days, I've been mulling it in my mind what the easiest way to explain some of the concerns in the Department of Law, and I think the easiest way is to just show you the copy of the resolution and explain to you that what our concern is that this language that's down here, this legislative intent language, really is not going to do anybody any good. I mean, if you were to fold your bill in half and just cut it, basically this is what you would have, is the language on the very top. And why is that? The reason we have that problem is because, as I explained last week, when you have a constitutional amendment, this is what goes to the voters. All this legislative intent language doesn't go to them. And the courts have ruled that when you have a constitutional amendment, what you've got to follow is the plain meaning of the words. And if we were to look at what the words say, it says, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period.
I just want to
Representative Boucher.
May I comment on that? There have been pieces of legislation put on as constitutional amendments that ask for an attorney general's opinion on it, and by the time they got through, the people didn't even know what they were voting for. So I am sure that there will be an explanation in the voters' handbooks and so forth on that. I would be delighted if that was all they left in there. But I have never seen a piece of legislation that went before the people out of this legislature that wasn't over-explained by the Attorney General's office. And that's with all due respect to you. That was a great statement.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask a question.
I would really appreciate if we could maybe let Stephanie Joannides continue her testimony and then ask questions. We do not have a lot of time this evening, and we need to have Commissioner English testify too. So please go ahead.
Thank you. It's correct that this is not all that goes on there. There is an explanation that goes below this. And Legislative Affairs, even in their memo that's been included in your packet, talks about why that doesn't have the effect that we would want it to have, that I assume that all of you would want it to have. The cases in Alaska and that the rules of statutory construction say that the courts, even when there's plain language and legislative intent, will always go with the plain language. And if the plain language of the rule, the statute, the amendment says one thing, and the legislative intent suggests another, they don't care. They just go with the plain meaning of the words. So even if the courts could consider the legislative intent language would not override something that is in the plain meaning of the words. Now, there's a case in Alaska, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission versus Apokedak. It's a 1984 Alaska Supreme Court case that specifically talks about that problem. There was a preamble to the Limited Entries Commission statutes, And the, one of the parties in the case raised the preamble and used it as argument, and the Alaska Supreme Court said, the statute is clear, we're not going to use that language that supposedly explains it to override what the language says. So in a nutshell, I mean, that's our concern.
Could you continue? Okay. Very briefly.
I've never seen a constitutional amendment of any nature that did not have, besides what will be on the ballot, that section, an explanation of the purpose for the constitutional amendment. We've done that with right to privacy. We did that with, most recently, number 22, I can't think of, but they always had the purpose and intent so that the judges consistently, even the high level of intent with legislation, are considered by the judge if something goes to court. I think it's a very necessary point of the legislation to not only show what the constitutional amendment will be, but the intent and purpose of it. I can't accept what you say, we can only have the bill saying section one, or whatever section it was.
I can elaborate a little bit on that point. The reason why you have this language is because when the people vote, this is the language they're going to vote on.
I agree.
And the court doesn't look at what all of you here decided as the basis for the constitutional amendment. What they're looking at is what the people had in their mind when they voted for this. So whether you intend for there to be reasonable regulation or not, when the person on the street reads this and says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, that's not telling me that there's going to be laws out there saying I can't possess this kind of weapon or armor-piercing bullets or stun guns or switchblades or metal knuckles or whatever.
I can't believe that that's the only thing we can have, because I'm in that current case on the 122nd. Okay. 120 days. We have to go back to not only the law that we passed, we're back then and I set up tapes of the committee hearings. They want to know what legislative intent was. And the common form. And they're using the body of that legislation plus the constitutional amendment.
Representative Martin, I know we can debate this forever, but I want to hear the rest of her testimony. I want to hear from the commissioner. And there are two other people waiting on teleconference, and then we're going to lose members because they've got other commitments at 5 o'clock. Representative, go ahead, please, Stephanie.
The other thing that the courts look at, aside from the plain meaning of the language, is they do go look at legislative history up to a certain point. And if there is an amendment that's been entertained by the bodies that was specifically rejected, as there has been in this situation, and I would take exception with the gentleman that spoke for the NRA last meeting, that this isn't the first time any of these arguments have been raised. It's my understanding that Gail Horetsky raised all these arguments and more last year, and that this is not the first time they've had to address these arguments. But getting back to the legislative history, I mean, the court is going to look at the fact that there's been amendments out there that specifically talk about reasonable regulation. And this body, as well as the Senate, have rejected those amendments. So the court, in looking back and seeing that amendments like that were entertained, what other conclusion can they come to but that you all rejected that reasonable regulation because it was specifically considered? There were some questions about what some other states did, and I didn't know if you all had these in your packets, but I brought a list, and I would assume that you have these in your packets, but I brought a list of the constitutional right to bear arms provisions in other states. And briefly going through them, it's interesting to note that a large percentage of the states have different provisions than what we're proposing. I believe there are only two states that have adopted the kind of language that you have before you, and those states are Rhode Island and South Dakota. The other states have used all sorts of other language in it. Alabama has structured their right to bear arms dealing with defense of self and state. And there's a big difference when you add language, defense of self and state, than when you just give somebody the absolute right to bear arms. Alaska has a well-regulated militia. Arizona has the defense of self and state, but you'll notice that they go further and talk about organization of armies. Colorado adds language specifically talking about carrying concealed weapons in theirs. Florida puts in the same language that we've suggested, except the manner of bearing arms may be regulated by law. Georgia has that same kind of language about regulating arms. Hawaii has a well-regulated militia. Idaho goes further, and they put in things talking about what the legislature can do, and on and on. I mean, if you go through these, you'll see that a majority of the states have some kind of other language in there. So we're not the only people that have this concern. Obviously, other states have some concerns in this area. There were some other cases that were provided to you, I believe, by Mr. Dalla from the NRA discussing the problems, the lack of problems that they see. I won't go into details about all the things that those cases say, but an overview of those cases suggests that Oregon specifically reviews the right to bear arms as one that they determine through a historical viewpoint. And they, because their language says defense of self and defense of the state, they've decided that if weapons that could have been used back in the Revolutionary era could have been used in defense of self or the defense of the state would be acceptable weapons. And using that rationale, they've come to the conclusion that switchblades and billy clubs are allowed weapons. They also went so far as to find that billy clubs, in one of the footnotes in those cases, can also be possessed outside a person's home. The rationale they used for finding switchblades acceptable was that even though switchblades weren't available back in the Revolutionary era, that the framers of the Constitution had to contemplate that arms would progress. So a knife could become a switchblade, and that's okay. Well, does that mean that our courts might interpret the law to mean that, well, they only had rifles there, but automatic weapons are okay, or that armor-piercing bullets are okay? There's a serious concern about allowing those kind of weapons in. Last, I'd just like to respond to Representative Donnelly's last comment at the last hearing, where he thought that maybe this bill would be a good idea because maybe the court should reconsider if we should allow switchblades to be possessed in this state or other prohibited weapons. I mean, the reason those weapons were put in the prohibited weapons list is because those weapons usually are used for criminal activity. They're not used in defense of self or home. If somebody wants to protect their home, they're going to protect their home by means of a gun or a rifle. They're not going to pull out a switchblade or metal knuckles or such kind of weapons in protection of their home. But other courts in other states have found that those weapons are acceptable by reviewing the constitutional provision.
Thank you very much for joining us. I hate to cut this short, but I do want Commissioner English to have the opportunity to testify, and there are two more people.
Madam Chair, we have a very important Economic Recovery Committee meeting that I've got to present my report after.
We will be continuing this meeting. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
There's one question I asked Ms. Joanies to address that hasn't been addressed yet.
Right. Go ahead. I forgot about that.
Simply one question. Is there one case citation where any court in the United States or, let's say, any Supreme Court of all these states you've listed here, and there's certainly a lot of them that have these provisions. You mentioned Rhode Island and somebody else, but there's a lot of others that are very similar also, where they said that it would prohibit the regulation of those type of the concealed carrying concealed weapons or any of the other real concerns we've heard about the weapons of mass destruction?
One of the cases the NRA provided, I believe it was Rice Hill, and I'd have to look at it, in dicta talks about that one of the reasons the statute is overbroad in that case, it was one of the, let me get you the exact name.
perhaps the commissioner could come forward and testify and she could find that.
Oh, it was the Lakewood v. Pillow case. One of the aspects that the Colorado Supreme Court considered overbroad is the fact that the Colorado statute included in the prohibited conduct somebody carrying a weapon, possessing a firearm in a vehicle. And that means to me that they're discussing the regulation of firearms. Now, whether I have gone through all the states and done a canvassing for you, no, because it would be worthless for me to do that. If you'll look at the list of the constitutional right to bear arms amendments, you'll see there's a variety of differences in all of those. Most of them are not substantially the same. They're very different. And when you have an amendment that talks about defense of self and defense of the state, it's totally different than if you give somebody the individual right.
Madam Chair, my question has not been answered by the Attorney General's office. I've asked it four times now. They have not come forth with a single case. We have a discussion of something in dicta involving presence in an automobile. That's the one question that seemed to be determinative about all these arguments against the proposal here, and they failed to come forward with a single shred of case law or evidence that backs up their concerns. And that's the real nut here. We're right down to that, and I think that's the crucial question, and they failed to address it time and time again.
Thank you for joining us, Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Art English, Commissioner of Public Safety. I'll just take a few minutes of your time, if I may. I would appreciate it very much if you people would listen to what we're talking about here. I'm not going to address the legality issue, the constitutional issue. We have attorneys all over the place that can address that. I'm going to address public safety. That's what this thing is all about. I heard a representative from the NRA talk the other day about he talked to some law enforcement officers that are opposed to our position. I also heard that the statement from the Chiefs of Police, National Academy, and Alaska Peace Officers Association did not even address this particular legislation. I happen to belong to all three organizations. The reason they were not addressed is because we did not think that this thing would even be an issue. We couldn't imagine our legislators even discussing legalizing, legalizing concealed weapons. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Alaska statutes very carefully right now distinguish what we can do with a firearm. I also heard the other day that there was some confusion in Alaska from the people. They didn't know what the Alaska law was as far as firearms were concerned. But I've been involved in this firearms industry up here for quite a number of years as a law enforcement officer, and I have not heard any confusion by any of our citizens about when they can or cannot carry firearms. My concern here is, if I may, is giving the courts and the different municipalities and the cities the authority to pass the rules and regulations on the type of firearms they can carry in their jurisdictions, taking it away from the state. I haven't heard any complaints. I don't know anywhere in the state of Alaska where the state troopers or any law enforcement agency has gone into any home and said you can't carry firearms in your home. You can't have firearms in your home. You can't carry them on the street as long as they're not concealed. That is my concern as a law enforcement officer. We are opening a can of worms if this passes. And if there's no question in my mind, I don't care about Representative Bounty, about the Constitution or somebody complaining or any suit that's been overturned or ruled on. I'm talking about basic law enforcement, basic public safety concerns.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Martin and Representative Donovan.
Commissioner, in consideration of your concern about the concealment, I can understand very well that, especially the people on the front line. On line 21 and 22, the amendment, if adopted, should not be constructed to preclude the regulation in the manners in which arms may be borne, carried, or used. Would that not cover your concern that the regulation can be adopted pertaining to concealment or openness?
Representative Martin, just to clarify, that is in a proposed CS which has not been adopted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that is not in the version that was passed by the Senate.
Well,
Okay? The Senate's version just stops after the word infringed on line 14, and that additional language was actually recommended by the Alaska Peace Officers and the Criminal Justice Working
Group. So you're in compliance with that if it went into it?
Okay, question.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Donald.
Commissioner, first of all, when you mentioned the concealed weapons at the beginning of your testimony, you implied that this would somehow allow that. And there hasn't been a shred of evidence that that's, in fact, the case. So I imagine you weren't really implying that, because there hasn't been any evidence of that or any intent anywhere of that. And, in fact, the Attorney General's office provided us with this. And if you look at Rhode Island, it's the same language. Well, that's not a new state, and I don't know if they just recently amended their constitution to do it this way, but if it, I mean, we've had about 200 years of case law in Rhode Island, and I don't think anybody's carrying concealed weapons in Rhode Island based on a constitutional right. I've never heard of any problems there. And if they were, maybe they would have amended it by now. I mean, I think this is a huge straw man, this whole argument about the state not being able to regulate. Now, since the Attorney General's office has been totally unable to provide us with a single case that says that if this language was adopted, that this would be prohibited from state regulation, possibly, does public safety have any such knowledge?
No, we don't have. So my concern is we're going to take it out of the state now, where the state has a very good control over. Let me address concealed weapons, if I may, Mr. Representative. Concealed weapons in the state of Alaska are illegal. You cannot carry a concealed weapon, period. Now, there is no question in anybody's mind in the state, any law enforcement officer in the state, that's the law. Now, if we go to a different part of the state, we have a court decision somewhere, and as you know, our courts have been known to rule in different ways for different things. A good example is our marijuana in Alaska legal issue. I didn't want to bring that up today.
Please do.
No. So I guess I'm really having a hard understanding of why this is even an issue, because it's working now. We do not have a problem with our firearms policy in Alaska. I talked to some of my friends in Las Vegas, for instance, who go from county to county. It's different. Every county has a different procedure for firearms. You go to Detroit, you can't carry a firearm in your vehicle in the city. So in Alaska, it's all the same. There's no distinction regardless of where you are. It's the same laws and regulations for firearms.
Representative Donnelly.
Well, if the question is how the Alaska Supreme Court would somehow interpret, or the Alaska Constitution is somehow different than the Rhode Island Constitution, so that this would imply some different decision, then maybe the Attorney General's office or the department can provide us with that segment of the Alaska Constitution that gives you concern specifically that if this was passed, it would have that kind of negative impact upon the state's ability to control those type of weapons or the concealment of weapons. Until that's provided, I'm totally unconvinced.
This is a really interesting argument, because the folks that do not want the resolution passed say that there isn't a problem, so what are we trying to do? And those that do want it passed say, well, why do you anticipate a problem when other states haven't had a problem, because we can't prove that there is a case law in existence where a state Supreme Court has overruled it? I mean, this is a really fascinating argument. But I think part of this might become clearer if you read the constitutional provisions that Stephanie Joannidis gave us today and that's in our packet. Because actually, Commissioner, your point about concealed weapons, many of the states' right to bear arms specifically say that nothing herein contained shall be construed to justify the practice of carrying a concealed weapon. Nothing in here will preclude the General Assembly's right to enact laws to prevent persons from carrying concealed weapons. There are a number of states, I just quickly count 15, that think it is so important that in their constitutional right to bear arms, there is specific language that allows the legislature to regulate carrying concealed weapons. There are a number of others here where it says specifically that the legislature may regulate or forbid carrying concealed weapons. And so apparently it has been enough of an issue in at least, I guess, 15, quick count, other states where, you know, the law enforcement community has apparently wanted that reassurance in the Constitution.
Point of information, Madam Chair. Sometimes you'll know, I realize that. You told me when I was reading this to the commissioner that this is proposed committee substitute. However, I agreed the same thing in the thing that was passed by the Senate on the intent language, that particular section of the Senate bill that came over to us.
It's an intent in the Senate.
This is what the committee here did, huh?
No, that is a proposed CS which has never been adopted by this committee.
But this is what you're looking at, this committee.
Well, that is that is language which was offered by the Criminal Justice Working Group to this committee as a possible amendment to the Senate's version.
But in section 2, the part I was reading to the commissioner, it's the same thing that came over from the Senate. That's why I was asking if the Senate version that said that part, the amendment, if adopted, should not be construed to preclude regulation in the manner in which it would be born.
Except that's legislative intent in the Senate version, not part of the Constitution.
Well, that's going to get another question. I think the department along there. I'm just asking the commissioner, do they find this enough protection with the legislative intent at this moment? That if that section remains in the bill, does that give you enough protection that the troopers in the police department or whoever can regulate against concealed weapons?
If adopted, should not construe to preclude the regulations of the manner in which arms may be borne.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I would have to ask our attorney.
Representative Donnelly.
Madam Chair, as to this question of concealed weapons, I would personally have no problem to adopt that into the Constitution also if it was limited to concealed weapons. Louisiana's done that. I see right here, it seems like pretty clear language. But this provision shall not prevent the passage of laws to prohibit the carrying of weapons concealed on the person. I think that makes a lot of sense, and if it was a clear-cut proposal that the individual right to keep and wear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or any subdivision of thereof, and then add that Louisiana language or one of those other states, I'd have no problem at all with that. But the way the Criminal Justice Group has proposed this language is a giant step backward for the right of the individual in the state to bear arms. It's totally unacceptable. I'm perfectly open to that sort of language that's in the other states that limits it to concealed weapons prohibitions on that. I think that's very reasonable. But the language they're proposing doesn't stop there. In fact, it opens the door for all kinds of new controls that are currently probably unconstitutional.
Madam Chairman, first of all, getting back to the concealed weapon, if I may, if Alaska all of a sudden decides that they're going to allow concealed weapons, so somebody has to take care of the program. Somebody has to test the applicants. Somebody has to investigate the applicants. A good example is the state of Idaho. Prior to just in January or so, they allowed their county sheriffs to issue concealed weapon permits. It got so confused, they finally gave the responsibility to the state to Department of Public Safety. The same thing would have to happen in the state of Alaska if we were to do it.
That's now, not the issue before us, though.
I know it's not an issue before, but that's a real thing that can happen, that will happen.
But when it's in statute. We could do that now by statute. You're talking about a statutory law, not a constitutional
question. The legislature has
the
authority, representative, to do that now. But there's no reason to, because we already have a regulation that says our firearm regulations are clear enough right now.
Uh-huh.
It can't be armed in the state of Alaska.
But that's got nothing to do with what we're working on today.
We do have two more people in Anchorage who wish to testify. Any other comments, Commissioner?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to go quickly to Anchorage. I believe there are two people there, Carrie Longoria and Officer O'Leary, whoever would like to be first. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairman. I'm a committee member of the Planning and Carry Longoria. We are having a little difficulty in listening to all the testimony that's being provided, so if the committee members could please get a little closer to the mic, then we might be able to respond if there's any questions. I'm testifying today on behalf of STARS, Stars and Sexual Assault Crisis Agency in the Anchorage area. And we're concerned about the consequences of the bill, which may result in the use of a greater variety of weaponry to be used against victims. After hearing some of the discussions, it sounds like there might be a move to revise the bill, possibly, so that might not be the result. But again, the concern is to deregulate any provisions which the state now has to control the type of weapon that might be used or concealed or carried on the body. So in summary, I would just urge the committee members to evaluate the discussion and the testimony provided by Commissioner English and from the Attorney General's office, and evaluate whether or not the consequences of the bill will result in more weaponry to be used against victims. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is Officer O'Leary there? Go ahead, please.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Leary. I'm the captain of the Anchorage Police Department, and I'm in charge of all the uniformed civil service personnel. In addition to that, I'm the president of the Alaska chapter of the FBI National Academy Association. I'd like to testify today and express our concern regarding the Constitutional Amendment as currently written. We have no problems with the right to bear arms whatsoever. I do share the same concerns that Commissioner English has expressed to you regarding the control of some of the other problems we have with firearms, field weapons, the intoxicated person, possession of a weapon, and all the other kinds of things that we come in contact with from a law enforcement perspective. Our recommendation to you would be that if you choose to go forward with this amendment or change to the Constitution, that you move out of legislative intent the section that reads, "The amendment, if adopted, shall not be construed to preclude the regulation of the manner in which arms may be borne, carried, or used," and include that in the section that will be reviewed by the court and the voters. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in Anchorage that wishes to testify on SJR 15?
No, there is not.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not own a gun, and so the debate has been very interesting and didactic for me, because I see two problems in that. One, I am sympathetic to expanding the guarantee of the right of the individual to keep and bear arms. On the other hand, I'm also concerned and would like to see the right of our peace officers to a safe environment be at least considered. I think it comes down in that regard to experience. I think many people who are looking at this legislation see the emotional issue from the constitutional threats that apparently some see, and they do not understand or have not, I think, considered sufficiently the risk that this provides to our peace officers. So it becomes a dilemma for me, and I just want to be on the record stating that there is this dilemma. I think that we've got to give this some serious thought. I don't think that we've had enough debate or deliberation in this committee. I realize we've got to keep pushing legislation along, but that's the concern that I have. I don't know the answer. I'm not convinced either way necessarily, but I do think that when our three peace officer organizations tell us that there is a problem here, and yet on the one hand we have a situation that's not broken. So I continue to be in a difficult position as regards the need for expanding or changing our Constitution.
Thank you, Representative Davidson. I think many of us are experiencing the same dilemma of feeling that there are legitimate concerns on both sides of this issue. I'm going to bring the meeting to a close at this point. I would encourage the members to spend some time with this file. It is a complicated issue, and please take a look at some of the language used in other states. I think there may be some compromise possible if we take some of the language that other states have used and add it to the proposed language, and we'll be working with the various interest groups and the sponsors, and we'll continue this measure. State Affairs Committee is adjourned.
Madam Chairman, you keep on giving me more facts, and I got to
He's moderating.